2 Kings chapter 1, we're turning to again. Let's just ask now for God's help in the preaching of the gospel. God will give us help tonight in that. God will speak to us and may our hearts and grace receive the Lord's truth. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee now as we come to your word, and we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst especially speak to each one of us. Lord, it is thy word that we hold, and Lord, we're blessed in this sense. We thank you, Lord, we're not coming to consider the words and the ideas and the philosophies of man, but it is the very word of the living God, that word that is forever settled in heaven. We bless thee tonight for the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for the effect of the gospel in the lives of so many here tonight. And we pray, O God, now as the gospel once again is preached, that thou wouldst minister to each heart, particularly to those that know not Christ, and thou wouldst draw them unto thyself. Lord, give us help in the preaching of thy word. Come upon us with power. We ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. As Elijah served the Lord in the land of Israel, most of his service for God was during the reign of the wicked king, Ahab. I mentioned last time that Ahab, though a grossly wicked man, was greatly blessed to have such a preacher as Elijah living and speaking God's truth in his day. If Ahab had have listened to God's word spoken by Elijah, how different would his life have been. If he had repented from his evil ways at Mount Carmel, as God powerfully demonstrated his truth, then his end would have been a happy and a blessed one. How different could have been the story of Ahab's life. He was so blessed to have a man of God like Ahab. He was so blessed to have such a witness of truth. But Ahab hardened his heart. He stiffened his neck and sold himself to work evil. And so in the end, he sinned against his own soul and brought about his own swift downfall. Proverbs 29 verse 1 warns, "He that been often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And this was certainly true of Ahab. His destruction came just as Elijah said it would in Naboth's vineyard. The solemn message Elijah declared was, "Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." And 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 37 and 38, it gives us the details of what happened to Ahab. If you turn back just a chapter to 1 Kings chapter 22, notice what it says in verse 37. "So the king died," that is the king Ahab, "and was brought to Samaria. And they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria." And note the words, "And the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor, according unto the word of the Lord which he spake." The death of this wicked king Ahab, was a testimony to all of the truthfulness of God's word, of how God's word is unfailing, of how God's word stands forever. We know God's word to be true. We know God's word to be faithful. But when we see it fulfilled in judgment, then how solemn a thing the truthfulness of God's word is. Ahab's judgment happened exactly, right down to the very last detail, right down to the licking of the blood by the dogs. Ahab's judgment happened exactly as God said it would. And so it will be for all men. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The day is coming when each one of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be judged by the all-knowing, all-seeing one. And God has warned us of this in his word, because this is exactly how it will happen. When we see God's word fulfilled in judgment, every time we see that in scripture, it is a warning to each one of us. God's word will be fulfilled. And it is a most solemn thing as we see God's word fulfilled in judgment. The death of Ahab was a warning in itself to others of the folly and foolishness of ignoring God's word, of turning aside from God's truth, of going your own way. Because his judgment fell upon him exactly as God had said it would. Yet what we see after the death of Ahab is this is exactly what his son does. Ahab's son was a man called Ahaziah. And as Isaiah came to the throne of Israel, he very much continued in the footsteps of his parents. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 51 and 53, it tells us of the reign of Ahaziah. Notice what it says. These are the final verses in 1 Kings. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. This man reigned for just a very short time. Ahaziah reigned just for 2 years. And these 2 years were 2 years of continued rebellion against God. Continued rebellion against God's truth, against Jehovah. 2 years of continuing to serve Baal. 2 years of continuing to sacrifices to the pagan gods of Baal. 2 years of continuing to practice immoral things and wicked things and vile things in the land. And so his reign continued on in this evil and sinful way. But what we see with Ahaziah, unlike his father Ahab, God's judgment upon him is swift and without mercy. With Ahab, God had blessed him and given him Elijah, given him many occasions, warning him, presenting his truth to him. And occasion after occasion, Ahab turned from God and continued to sin against God. But with his son Ahaziah, God's judgment falls upon him swiftly and without mercy. 2 Kings chapter 1 is the chapter which tells us of the downfall of this man, Ahaziah. And what is so notable in this chapter in regard to Ahaziah is there was no mercy. There was no mercy or grace shown to him. Absolutely none. Verse 4 tells us all that God had to say to this man. Notice what it says. Now therefore thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord had to say to this man. Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And thinking of this judgment, this swift, this unmerciful judgment that fell upon Ahaziah, what we are brought to see is the punishment from turning from God's salvation. The punishment in turning from God's salvation. Ahaziah, despite all that had happened to his father, and despite knowing the truth of God, and remember, Ahaziah did know the truth of God, because he knew Elijah, the man of God. He knew him in an intimate way, in a close sense, because it tells us this in verses 7 and 8. Notice what it says. He said unto them, what manner of man was he which came to meet you and told you these words? This is after the servants returned from meeting Elijah and bring back his message. He asked what manner of man this was, this messenger. And verse 8 says, and they answered him, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, that is Ahaziah said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. And so Ahaziah knew the man of God. He knew Elijah in an intimate way. He knew his appearance. In other words, Elijah had stood before him. Perhaps he'd been there as Elijah stood before his father and brought the truth to his father. He was sure of God's word. He knew God's truth. But he turned from God. And like his wicked parents, he served Baal. He went his own way. Therefore, we see here in this solemn chapter the punishment that fell upon this man for turning from God. It is a most solemn thing to turn from God's salvation. It will bring the worst of punishments upon the head of that person. It will bring the worst of condemnations, the worst of judgments. It will bring the wrath of God upon our heads. And this is exactly what happened with Ahaziah. And so this is what I want us to notice tonight in this chapter. The punishment in turning from God's salvation. Notice here the punishment that came upon this heedless, rebellious, reprobate man. We see firstly that his punishment involved that there was no medicine to cure him. There was no medicine to cure him. And verse 4 tells us, thou shalt not come down from that bed in which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. Ahaziah had fallen down through a lattice, which would have been an opening upon the first or second floor in his palace. Some kind of opening. It could have been a window. It could have been just a hatch. We don't know what it was. But he fell down through this opening. Now he lay sick upon his bed. We're not told the details of his sickness, but it was of such a nature that he was concerned enough to seek whether he would be cured. He wanted to find out, would he be cured? Would he be recovered from this condition that had taken hold upon him? And so he calls his servants, and he says in verse 2, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Akron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Ahaziah ignores the God of Israel. And he seeks after the false god of Beelzebub. He follows his sinful ways and his sinful paths. But as the servants go to inquire of Beelzebub, they are met by God's servant Elijah, who has been sent by God to deliver a solemn message to this foolish king. And the latter part of verses 3 and 4 contain the message. It says there in the latter part of verse 3, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Akron? Now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from the bed in which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. Notice also the words of verse 16. And this is when Elijah himself comes, and in person he stands before Ahaziah. Notice what it says in verse 16. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Akron, is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down of that bed in which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. Note the word therefore here in this verse. Elijah is saying, you seek after Beelzebub? You seek after the God of Akron? Is it because there's no God in Israel that you're doing this? Is this why you're doing it? No, it is not. It's because you ignore the God of Israel and turn your back on him. Therefore, because you've done this, because you've turned your back on the God of salvation, therefore, thou shalt not come down of that bed in which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. There was no medicine to cure this man, not because there was no God in Israel, but because Ahaziah had turned his back on the God of Israel, the God that could heal, and the God that could deliver. What a profound yet simple lesson is set forth in this sad incident in the life of Ahaziah. He was a man with a serious problem, a deadly problem. But because he refused to seek the God of salvation, the God that had told his people, I am the Lord that healeth thee, because Ahaziah rebelliously and stubbornly refused to call upon the Lord Jehovah, he would die of his sickness, the sickness that had taken hold upon him. The punishment that came upon this man as he turned his back on God was there was no medicine for his sickness. There was nothing that could cure or save him. Yet as we consider man born in sin, man with the sickness and disease of sin alive and active in his body and soul, what was true of Ahaziah is also true of all men. What was true of Ahaziah in his physical sickness is true of all men that have that spiritual sickness of sin. There is a cure for our sick sin souls. There is a cure, there is an answer. There is a medicine. And that medicine is Christ himself. He is the one that is the balm of Gilead. He is the one that can heal us. He is the one that can cure us. He is the medicine that we need. As we are perishing in our sin, it is Christ that we need. The disease of sin will bring the wrath of God upon our heads. But Christ has suffered in our place, in our stead. Therefore, he's the medicine. The sickness of sin will bar us from fellowship with God. But Christ has suffered the just for the unjust to bring us to God. Therefore, he's the medicine. The cancer of sin leads to death, eternal death. But Christ has said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Therefore, again, he's the medicine. He's what we need. The rottenness of sin leaves all men corrupt and putrid. Christ says to his people, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. Christ is the medicine. He is the cure for the sin sick soul. We need Christ. You need Christ tonight. That's what you need. But herein lies the warning. If you turn your back on Christ, if you turn your back upon the one, the only one that can meet the need of your soul, your heart, just like Ahaz did, then you will die in the disease of your sin. There is simply no other cure. There is simply no other medicine. You can seek after the gods of this world like foolish and wicked King Ahaz did. You can listen to the God of reason saying to you, well, you're not a bad person. And that's what the God of reason will say to you. You're not a bad person. Oh, there's plenty out there and they need a change in their lives. They need their lives turned around, but not you. You're a good person. You can listen to the God of reason. You can listen to the God of religion. And how many do that today? They listen to the God of religion. Why, you're a Protestant. You're not a Roman Catholic. You're not a pagan. You're not held in darkness. You're a Protestant. You were born a Protestant. You come up through a Protestant church and you're still a Protestant today. You can listen to the God of religion. You can listen to the God of riches who speaks and brings before you the things of this world and convinces you these are the things that are important. Having the things of this world, having the material goods of this world, and you can listen to that and you can build your life upon these things. But these gods have no cure for your disease, the disease of sin. Just as Beelzebub had nothing to offer Ahaziah, these things have nothing to offer you. All that can deliver you tonight, the only one that can deliver you is the Christ of God, the Savior of sinners. He's the only one that you need tonight. Ahaziah knew the truth. As I have said, he knew Elijah, the man of God. He would have been aware of the events which unfolded in his father's life, but he rejected the God of salvation. And so nothing could save him. Nothing could cure him. What about you tonight? What about you? Here you are in another gospel meeting. Here you are and you're sitting in God's house again and you've sat here perhaps on many occasions before. But have you ever taken the medicine? Have you ever by faith received Christ? Or tonight does it find you once again in God's house, still sick with sin, turning your back on God's salvation? Turn with me just for a moment to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. Here we have the prophet Jeremiah. And he's speaking to the people of Israel. And remember, the people that he preached to were rebellious, were a sinful, were a wicked people. Notice the words of Jeremiah, the last verses here in Jeremiah chapter 8. And I know some of these words might be familiar or will be familiar to all of us, I'm sure. Notice what he says in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. He says, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Harvest and summer here speaks of opportunity. It speaks about a time, a season. And Jeremiah is saying, listen, there's been this time, there's been this opportunity, but these people are not saved. Verse 21 reveals the astonishment of Jeremiah. For the heart of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold of me. And so Jeremiah said, I'm astonished. Completely astonished. Black with astonishment. Distressed with it. Grieved with it. Why was Jeremiah astonished? Verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Jeremiah is asking these questions to the people. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? For he knows there was balm in Gilead. He knows there was a physician there. He knows there was a cure. He knows there was a healing for the people. But he's astonished because the people have turned their backs on God. And so we ask the question, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? He is utterly astonished at this. God made a provision for his people. He provided healing. He provided a medicine for their soul. He provided a physician in himself. they turned their back on him. And the people were not recovered. They were still going on in their sin. They were still not saved. Sinner, there is a cure tonight. Christ is the answer to your greatest problem. The problem of your sin-sick soul. But if you ignore Christ, if you turn your back on him, then just as Christ told the Pharisees that rejected him, ye shall die in your sin. So you will die with the fever of sin raging in your soul. And that is what it is to be lost. That's what it is to be damned. That's what it is to perish. To die in the sickness of your sin. As Isaiah turned from God, there was no medicine to cure. He turned from the only one that could heal him, the only one that could deliver him. But then also notice here, as Isaiah turned from God, there was no message of comfort. No message of comfort. Notice the words of verse 6. And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel, that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Akron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. These are the words that rung in the ears of this wicked king. What is particularly striking about these words is that Elijah does not preach to this man. This is very, very solemn. Elijah does not seek to convince him of his sin or of his sinful ways. Elijah doesn't even give him a warning. And in verse 16, we've already read that verse, as Elijah comes and stands in his presence, he doesn't convince the king. He doesn't try to preach to the king. He doesn't try to turn the king from his wicked ways. But he simply delivers the message of judgment. You're going to die. That was it. That was the message. There was no message of comfort from the man of God to Ahaziah. Absolutely none. If we try to imagine Ahaziah lying upon his bed, and we can see him there, he is the sick man. He is the ill man. He is concerned. His body is tormented by pain. And then his servants come to him with the message of Elijah. Elijah says, you're not going to come down of your bed, but you'll surely die. There's simply nothing of any comfort in those words. They're filled with distress. Here was a man already distressed, already concerned, because he had sent his servants to Beelzebub. But the message of God to him was, you're going to die. Then Isaiah sends his soldiers to Elijah. He sends three companies with 50 men in each company. And the first two companies of 50 soldiers are consumed by fire. They come to Elijah and tell him, the king has said, come down. And Elijah answers them, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And that's exactly what happens. Fire falls from heaven and consumes the soldiers of the king. These are strange scenes. But think of the impact upon the mind of Ahaziah. Think of how this would have had a solemn impact, or it ought to have had a solemn impact upon the mind of Ahaziah. He sends his soldiers out to Elijah, and they're consumed with fire. God was saying to this man, I have nothing to say to you. I have no words of comfort or peace. I have no message of hope. But my message to you is this, judgment, 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 judgment. That's all God had to say to Ahaziah. Judgment. And God told him verbally by Elijah. And he told him visually by the fire falling upon his soldiers. Ahaziah, you're under my judgment. You're under my judgment. You see, what I want each one of us to see and understand tonight is when you turn from God, when you turn from the God of salvation, then you're turning from the God who's described in 2 Corinthians 1 and 3 as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And when you reject him, when you turn your back on him, then you're placing yourself outside of God's grace and mercy. And you're placing yourself under his eternal wrath and judgment. That's what you're doing. As you reject God, as you rebel against him, as you refuse to obey his call in the gospel, you're placing yourself under his wrath and judgment. Ahaziah in his heart had turned from God. Therefore, the only message God had for him was one of wrath and judgment. That's all God had to say to him. You despise God's son. God has got nothing to say to you. How many will turn up on the day of judgment and feel perhaps they have things to say to God? They want to speak to God about their life. And they want to speak to God about their religion. And they want to speak to God about their good behavior and about their family that they reared. And they want to speak to God about all of these things. God doesn't want to know. Because you despised his son. God does not want to know. What I often find tragically sad is the people who live without God, the people who live in this world and have no love for Christ. They have no time for the gospel. And yet they hold some kind of notion. Some fanciful notion. They will be in heaven. And they will be there with their loved ones and with their friends. How many live and die like this? How many comfort their own hearts by saying after their loved one dies, they're in a better place. How often that is said. Perhaps they've been sick beforehand. And they died. And they knew not Christ, and it was evident that they knew not Christ in their lives. And people will say, well, you know, it was better for them that they got away. Oh, it wasn't. God's word is emphatically clear. Those who reject Christ, those who will not obey the commands of Christ speaking in the gospel, there is simply no message of comfort for them. But instead, Matthew 25:41 tells us the words which they will hear from the mouth of Christ. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. That is the words. That is the message that they shall receive from a holy God. In many ways, it is similar to the message that Ahaziah received. Thou shalt surely die. And those that have turned their backs on God's salvation will hear the message, depart from me into everlasting fire. Into eternal death, in other words. Dear friend, do not delude yourself tonight. There is nothing, absolutely nothing of any comfort for the soul that rejects God's salvation. The only message God has for you is the same message he had for Ahaziah. It is one of judgment. 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 That is the message God has for you when you turn your back upon his son and his truth. Think of the rich man in Luke 16. There was that man in hell. Though he begged for a drop of water. And think about that in itself. There was that rich man, and he begged for one drip of water to cool his tongue. That's conveying to us the agonies and the torments of hell. That's conveying to us how terrible a place hell is. And all he wanted was one drip of water. Yet the answer that he received was, no. No. He didn't even obtain mercy of one drip of water. You see, God's judgment upon those that reject him is total. Absolutely total. The soul that turns from God has no medicine to cure and has no message to comfort. Oh, be warned tonight. Do not turn from God. Then finally, notice with me, the soul that turns from God, there is no mourning over their crimes. There's no mourning over their crimes. We do not read at any point in this passage of Ahaziah being contrite or sorrowful over his sin. He has received a dreadful message from the lips of the man who he knows speaks the truth, Elijah. The message of judgment was powerfully confirmed to him by the fire falling upon the two companies of 50 soldiers. And yet we do not read of Ahaziah mourning over his sin. We don't read of that. We don't read of a change of heart here. There is not one trace of contrition to be found here in this man's life. You'll not find it in the scriptures. He receives this solemn message. It is confirmed to him by the fire falling upon his soldiers. And yet this man is unmoved. When Jonah preached the message of judgment in the city of Nineveh, we read in Jonah 3 and 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. They believed God. And so they in contrition turned from their sins. But Ahaziah did not believe God. He did not believe God. He turned his back on God. And that is why he sends the soldiers to arrest Elijah. It was an act of aggression against God. That's what it really was. Even when the fire of God consumes these soldiers of Ahaziah, he still is unmoved, for he sends another company of 50 and then another company of 50. The third company is only spared, for their leader was a wise man and he pleaded for their souls. What we see in the life of this man was God had handed him over to his own sinful ways. The very fact that he did not mourn over his sin, nor was contrite, nor was concerned as he faced judgment, reveals to us how God had already handed him over. Over to his own sinful passions. Over to his own sinful ways for destruction. God had handed him over. And you see, this is what God does as men in rebellion turn from him. As part of the punishment. As part of their punishment. He hands them over to their sin. He hands them over to their own wicked ways. In Romans chapter 1, this is brought before us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 just for a moment. Romans chapter 1. And Paul, of course, in the opening chapters of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, 2 and 3, is speaking much about sin and wickedness and the depravity of man. But in Romans 1 verse 22, notice what it says here. But that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Here are people, and they've turned from God. It's very clear these people have turned from God, because it says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Here were people that knew God. They knew the truth. They were familiar with the truth. And yet, they didn't glorify God. They turned from God. What is the punishment this people face? Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Notice God gave them up. God gave them up. Then notice verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Again, we see God gave them up. God handed them over. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God gave them up. What was it that God gave these people up to? It's clear here. God gave them up to their sin. He gave them up to their own wickedness. He gave them up to vile affections. They might dishonor their own bodies. God turned from them. He withdrew his hand of grace and mercy and he gave them up. He let them go their own way of destruction for their own damnation. Very, very solemn passage of scripture. God gave them up. These people, they will never mourn over their sin. They will never be contrite in heart, for they have turned their backs on God, and God has handed them over to their sin, to their eternal ruin. What a terrible, solemn thing it is to turn from God, to reject his salvation, to despise his Son. Understand this tonight. When you refuse Christ, when you disobey the call of his voice in the gospel, God can withdraw his grace and leave you in the position where you will never have to resist his voice again. You will never have to resist his voice again. Yes, you might hear the gospel preached. You might attend many gospel meetings. You might receive many gospel tracts and much information concerning the gospel. But you will be unmoved, unconcerned, and unchallenged by the message, because God has handed you over to your sin. And part of your punishment is you will never mourn over your sin. You will never mourn over the crimes that you have committed in breaking God's law. God gives you up because you have turned willfully against him. Verse 17 gives us the cold facts concerning this man Ahaziah. Notice what it says. So he died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. He died. This man was unmoved on the fact that even after receiving the most terrifying of messages, unmoved. Oh, God is speaking to you in the gospel. Do not turn away. Do not have this end which this man had. But respond in faith. Respond in faith. It is a good thing tonight if your soul is troubled. It is a good thing tonight if your soul is concerned. If you are disturbed. If you are uncomfortable, then bless God for that. Because God then has not given you up. Hebrews 3:15 says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. What if tonight was the last night God would strive with you? What if tonight was the last night God would say, you will never turn your back on my son again. You will never despise my grace again. You will never have another opportunity to resist my call in the gospel. Because I'll give you up. What if that happened tonight? Well, you cannot continue to despise God's mercy and not face a terrible judgment. You cannot. Hebrews 10:29 warns of how much sore punishment. Suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. That is God saying, listen, if you despise my Son, if you trample under your feet his precious blood, and despise the Spirit of grace that calls you, then how sore will your punishment be? How sore was Ahaziah's punishment? It was without mercy. It was without medicine. And it was without opportunity to mourn over his sin. And he was a man that went to a lost eternity. And tonight he's still there in a lost eternity, under the judgment and condemnation of God. Oh, don't follow this foolish path. The gospel tonight is a message of hope and of salvation. God calls men unto himself. Oh, that you would accept Christ. Oh, that you would accept him, and how blessed and how happy would your end be. It would be eternal life, not eternal ruin. Do not forsake Christ. Do not turn your back upon God's salvation again tonight. I urge you, but come to Christ. Seek him while he may be found. And call upon him while he is near. And God will have grace. And God will have mercy. And God will save. I trust you will come. And God will bless his truth to each one of our hearts.